Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. We weren't here, obviously, last week with the supposed snow that we were meant to get. We're going to start with the first game, Arsenal versus West Brom. And obviously, Mark's here, so this is obviously going to be a handy kind of dive right into what
it's another weekly edition of Blokes on the Bench, Arsenal Intervention.
What? Okay, first of all, like we'll get to the scoreline in a bit, but Petacek injured.
What do you think? Alexis Sanchez also taken off, saying there might be ligament damage. I'm more worried about that than Cech.
See, I was always told, as somebody watching football, that it's not the injuries that look the worst that are sometimes the worst.
Yeah,
it's those
true.
Ones that like just kind of happen from out of absolutely nowhere that can actually be pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting older in age now. You know, I used to have more faith in Ospina than I did after this game. Had an absolute howler there, I think, for, what was it, Greggy, the second goal?
Yeah, the Robson Kanu, yeah.
Yeah, Robson Kanu had been on the pitch for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And
2 minutes,
yeah. Changed the match as soon as he came on, playing against his Welsh counterpart, Aaron Ramsey, who just doesn't look to be the same player that we had 3 years ago. The whole team looked awful. The only shining light in that game was Xhaka played a very nice ball over the top to Sanchez with a killer finish for our first goal to retaliate after going down a goal. That was probably, what, within 4 minutes of going down.
Yeah.
But just never seemed to recover. And we all know what Tony Pulis is going to do against us. It's happened time and time again. He's going to park the bus, try to hit us on the counter, and get goals on set pieces. And me and Ryan were talking about this before the show. It's like West Brom's got to be one of the top teams in the league when it comes to scoring from set pieces.
Right.
And then you have to ask yourself, then, what does Arsene Wenger do to counteract that? Knowing that that's coming. The only way that West Brom are really going to score in this game is from set pieces. So how does he counteract that? And it starts with, for me, the team that he picked to go out there. Look, West Brom, Gareth McCauley and Craig Dawson, they'll get you 6-7 goals a season. Both centre-backs, from headers, from corners. That's what they do. They're not the fastest guys. They're not, you know, they're not the greatest athletes, if you like. So I don't know why Danny Welbeck started. I would play Giroud purely because Giroud...
he's a great defender in the box.
Yeah, but Giroud, let's think of it like this, okay? Danny Welbeck is going to run rings around those two defenders. He's going to outpace something on the attack, right? But you've got to feed those forward passes into the lanes for him. You didn't do that. So if you're not going to do that, why not play Olivier Giroud? Because from Giroud, you get a better hold-up player to bring in your likes of your Sanchez, your Oxlade-Chamberlain, your Aaron Ramsey's. But when you're defending set pieces, you have a 6'5", 6'6" guy who's fantastic in the air, both in the opposing penalty area
and
in his own penalty area. And you just completely nullify that by starting Danny Welbeck, who's never won a defensive header in his life. And for the life of me, as soon as... So Dawson has an absolute run on Koscielny in the first one. Great header, 1-0 up. Sanchez scores, Robson Kanu scores, and then you have this absolute ludicrous decision. Craig Dawson's already scored one bullet header, right? So you go and put Oxlade-Chamberlain on him, and Ox doesn't even run with him. Ox just lets him run through, and another header, 3-1, game over. It's like, this is what we were talking about with no leaders, no direction, because I've played in teams where I'm picking up, back in the day when I was 5 foot nothing, picking up like a 6 footer, and somebody's grabbed me by the scuff of the shirt and said, go mark the little guy out on the edge of the box. I've got this guy. That's at, like, under 12s, like, under 13 level. These are professional footballers in the best league in the world, and you don't have somebody to say, hey, you shouldn't be picking him up. I'll take him.
What blame do you put on Steve Bould? I mean, this has been 3-4 years now that we've tried this zonal marking thing, and it clearly just does not work.
Well,
hasn't worked.
You try to do 50-50, which, if done correctly, is probably the most optimum strategy of defending set pieces on the regular, yeah? But when you come up against a team, in my opinion, when you come up against a team that scores as many goals as West Brom do from set pieces, pretty much, it's got to be, they probably have some ridiculous stat where it's like 50% of their goals are scored from set pieces. You just have to man mark, and you have to be strong, and you just put one man on one post, one man on the other, and everybody else is picking somebody else up. You actually create more room for your keeper to come and claim crosses when you man up. Mm. When you've got, like, the flip side of that is that the keeper knows where these zones are, so he can maneuver his way to thing. But that's to say that the ball comes into that area. If the ball comes anywhere along the 6-yard box, between the 6-yard box and, let's say, 8 yards out, I'm not going to say penalty spot because that's a bit ridiculous. The keeper just should come and just take out everybody and claim balls. But when you have this 50% zone or 50% man mark, in my opinion, it's pretty hard for a keeper to come and do that. But picking up man for man, you actually create a little bit more space. Because not everybody... Look, when you're picking up man for man, yeah? Dawson, McCauley, McLean, whoever it is who's in there, yeah? Yam or whatever his name is, pretty tall guy, I think comes up for corners. They're in communication. One's going front post, one's going 6 yards beyond the front post, one's going penalty spot, and one's going back stick. So you've only got really one person, let's say, really in the center of the goal. So the goalkeeper's only got to come and mow down one person. But you take that away when you have two of your men already in that spot. And you're telling me that, like, Nayom or Craig Dawson, who have got, like, an 8-yard running start, aren't going to absolutely just destroy Aaron Ramsey, who seems to sit in that one pocket. And then you had Koscielny in the other. Koscielny, great defender, great in the air. But I'm sorry, even like a 5'8" player who's getting an 8-yard run on you is going to win the ball. It's just...
Is that a situation where you'd put a man on each post?
You put a man on each post, and then everybody else who steps into the area...
Because, see, we didn't do
you
that.
You pick them up. You pick them up. It's easy. It's so easy. And they just don't do it. And like I say, there's no leaders on the pitch to say, lads, this isn't right. This is what we're going to do. You just don't have it. And you're your own worst enemies. And it's just shocking. But even, like, normal stuff. Like Bellerin, one of the fastest players in the league. Like, just caught out of position. Just wandering and stuff. It's like, they don't care. They don't care. Arsenal have been absolutely battered in the past month. Just absolutely stomped on. I'm sure that Arsene Wenger went in there and said, we need a reaction today. We need to get...
Yeah, I mean, for the last...
thing. But what does it say? That's the reaction he got. So these players, in my opinion, do not want him in the position. They can't. If that's them stepping up and showing something...
Yeah, it seems kind of like what's happened to Leicester. And I got to admit, I know I shared this on Facebook to you blokes earlier, but... The last month, this has kind of seemed like cheap therapy for me, hour-long sessions of just can't seem to get it together. I mean, I guess the biggest talking point from the match was off the pitch, the two planes that flew over. Stupid. It may have been one plane. They may have just switched the banner. Who knows? But
I actually think the most telling thing was Arsene's interview afterwards.
Yeah.
And the most positive thing he could take out of the game was that they had 77% possession. Possession doesn't necessarily mean you win a game.
Well, obviously it don't. They lost 3-1.
Right.
It wasn't even close in the end, if you know what I mean. Because that's what I was saying to you, Mark, as well. That last 10 minutes... You see, I saw Arsenal do this against Bournemouth. 3-1, I think it's 3-0 down, really. And in the last 15 minutes, come back and it's 3-3. Is that a good result? You know what? 3-0 down, 15 minutes to go. Yeah, that's a good result. But against Bournemouth, in the reality of it, should be winning that game. This game, you've got, what, 10 minutes, 3-1 down. I was expecting an absolute onslaught, even to get to 3-2. Give the fans something. You know, you travel from London to the Midlands to watch that, and that's what you turn up and get to see. It's just shocking. Apps, they did nothing in that last 10 minutes. Mm. They did nothing throughout the whole game, really.
And the players continue, like, Chamberlain seems to be the leader of it, just to apologize after these games. It's like, stop apologizing. Like, why don't you just play harder during the game?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're really that sorry about it, start dishing out your weekly wages.
To help them go to the games, to watch us lose.
Yeah, start paying for these bus trips for them to go to these away games and have to see that shambolic display. I mean, it's all good and well coming out, I'm saying I'm sorry, but you know what? If the very next morning I've got £125,000 going into my bank account, I'll stand outside and say sorry all you want. Just keep feeding me the money, because that's what they're doing at the moment.
Right.
They don't really care. They really don't.
So are we seeing the starting of almost like another Leicester City, where the players are revolting against the manager?
I think they already have. I mean, it's not going to be in such a...
I think they're divided just like our fans. I think there are certain players that, you know, love Wenger, and I think there are certain players like Sanchez that are starting to question it. And that's just not good for the dressing room. It seems very polarized at the moment. And clearly Sanchez is not happy, and I would be stunned if he stays as an Arsenal player next year. And that's going to hurt me because I love watching the guy and the kid.
Right.
Representing the colors.
So, this is a question to you more than anyone. Does he sign a new contract?
Well, Ryan and I were also talking about this earlier, so apparently it's coming out that he might just sign a one-year deal.
Yeah, that will keep all the people that are kind of wanting them out happy, that, you know, cause apparently it's to help find another replacement. There's plenty of replacements. There's plenty of them.
Well, Arsenal fans have been calling it Wexit now.
Wexit.
It's such garbage. I mean, you have... Look, the truth of the matter is, I was saying to you outside, Mark, that from now until the very first ball is kicked next year, like for the 2017-18 season, you've got about 6 months. That is idle time to go out and find a perfect manager for this team. I mean, it just is. I mean, you could probably find him in 3 months.
Right.
So the fact that give them a year so they can really think about it, you're going to be another year behind the time. I can see you finishing seventh this year. And if you think that just bringing in a new manager is going to bounce you back up into the top four next year, delusional, absolutely delusional. Happened with United under Moyes and with
LVG.
LVG. You finish seventh. You know what? It's going to be a few years before you're back in the mix. And the truth is, Arsenal cannot afford to take that massive step back. And I think that having him sign a year contract, and it almost seems like it's a goodwill gesture.
Right.
Like, don't give me all this nonsense.
Like the Arsene Wenger retirement tour.
It's like, yeah, don't give me this nonsense about that it gives you a year to find a replacement. The truth of the matter is, you should have been looking for a replacement a month ago, started the proceedings. And if you're starting to really think about it now, if Arsene comes out in the next 2 weeks and say, this is my last season, thank you very much, da-da-da-da-da, then they have no choice but to go and find that replacement. So it doesn't matter, in my opinion, if it's a year from now or right now. You have to start that process. And you know what? These managers aren't going to be like, I'm going to commit to Arsenal in 18 months' time. I'll come on board for the 2018-2019 season. Never going to happen. Never gonna happen.
Just doesn't work
out
like
you
that.
You go find your man and you bring him in at the start of next year. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we have to move on. Next game: West Ham versus Leicester City. Leicester City still on that roll.
Best game.
Craig Shakespeare seems to really have turned this club around. Or not even. You know what? I'm not going to say that. He didn't turn anything around. I think it was the players decided to play.
Yeah, I mean, I give him all the credit in the world. 4 games, 4 wins. But yeah, absolutely, you know, the whole decision and that's kind of galvanized Leicester, and they're really putting in some decent performances. Don't get me wrong, this game, yes, they ran out 3-2 winners, but they were straight out the gate, scored 2 goals within 7 minutes. Mahrez with a cross-come shot that just went straight in the far corner, you see it all the time. And then Robert Hughes, some really bad defending from West Ham. But then, my God, did we have a game on. You had Lanzini with a great free kick. Absolute perfect free kick into the top corner. Schmeichel, no chance. Got it to 2-1. Then you had Vardy scoring to make it 3-1. And this second half was so, like, it wasn't even, I'm not even going to say it was end-to-end, because Leicester really had nothing in the last 35 minutes of this game. It was just all West Ham. And you can pick off two of probably the best saves of the season from Schmeichel. You missed an absolute sitter from about 6 yards, blazed it over the bar, where he could have just side-footed it in the bottom corner. The Carroll one was just the same. He's got it on target, though, and unbelievable save from Schmeichel. Absolutely brilliant. Just like his old man used to do, the old starfish flying out. Massive right hand on it to punch it away. It was
I wouldn't mind seeing Arsenal poach him.
Yeah, he's you know what? He's the one Leicester player this year that hasn't dropped his standards. He's been brilliant all year. Unfortunately, he's had a lot more kind of work to do this year because the defenders haven't really been cutting it. But I'm sure we'll talk Champions League a little bit later and what they did midweek. But again, in that game, he was sensational. And again, yesterday. And like I said, it was the most entertaining game. But I think, you know, West Ham fans will be a little frustrated. You know, you got Snodgrass, who seemed reluctant to cross a ball in yesterday. Probably one of the best left-footed crossers in the Premier League. And he just kept running that poor kid. Barham is his name? The young lad who plays right back. Running him ragged down the right flank. So that was a little kind of annoying. But don't get me wrong, West Ham had a lot of chances. And this could have easily ended up being like 4-3, 5-3, 5-4. But no, really good game.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. Sunderland versus Burnley.
Not much to talk about, mate. Burnley, obviously, away record is kind of abysmal. Sunderland have kind of taken some steps back in the past month. So it's no surprise this ended up being a stalemate, 0-0. I can't really think of any decent chances to talk about. I'll just say move on. That wasn't particularly a good advert.
If they go down, does Moya stay with them, or does...
Yeah. I think he's at the right club. I think, I think the thing is with Sunderland, then maybe going down and winning the championship, let's say, and coming back that way.
Like Newcastle's probably going to do this year.
Yeah, it might be the best thing for that football club, to be honest.
Right. All right, well then, moving on. Stoke versus Chelsea. This was one of the best free kicks I've ever seen from Willian.
Really?
I just thought the way he hit it, like that little, like it was cheeky. It wasn't like, I just liked it. I don't like Willian at all.
I mean, it's good thinking, but it's absolutely...
Why don't you like Willian?
I just don't like him.
Is it the fro?
No, it's not that. I don't know, there's something about him that I don't like.
I've always liked him. He's a workhorse.
But then again, I don't like anybody from Chelsea. So, I mean, okay. They all bug me. But yeah, I just thought there was something that was a little cheeky. Like, it wasn't the obvious shot. It was like on the ground and low.
But the goalkeeper should be saving that all day long. You got two hands on it. He just powers it into the side net. It's like, yeah, I'd put that more down to, okay, intelligent thinking, good thought, should never have gone in.
Well, I mean, like, the Cahill goal was off a really terrible clearance, to be perfectly honest, as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had the...
Fantasy team points.
The thing is, as well, you had the Walters penalty, which was a really soft penalty, but probably about 90 seconds before that, they had a goal disallowed for a push on Aspilicueta, Berahino on Aspilicueta. So, it was... I think the penalty, I think the referee's still thinking about... did he give the right decision on the disallowed goal? And that's kind of why they got that penalty. But, yeah, Walters made it 1-1, and then Cahill with 5 minutes to go. Kind of a scramble in the box. He was just in the right place at the right time, smashed it in. Well done, Chelsea. You're going to win the league.
All right, guys, it's 6:20. We'll be right back. All right, guys, so next game, Hull versus Everton. Did you want something quick to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of ask you blokes, thinking about the future of Arsenal, this may happen to us. Like, how much, Greggy, do you think Chelsea is benefiting this season from not being in European football at all?
Yeah, it's massive. It does make a difference. You get that respite. You don't have, like, the congestion of fixtures. Especially, the worst thing is, a lot of people, you
the
know,
travel.
Yeah, they don't think about, you know, the Christmas period in England is brutal. And then you add in European football with that. I mean, it's really hard to keep. The beauty, the thing is, I think the thing that proves the point is that Conte's made like 24 changes all season to his starting lineup, which is about 10% of like the nearest team, if you know what I mean, that have done the same. So the fact that you can keep 10 out of your 11 players on the team sheet week in, week out, that kind of, you know, you keep the team spirit, people know what they're doing, and again, it's easy when you're winning. But not having to rotate players, not having to keep players fresh for Champions League,
yeah,
and all this kind of thing, it makes a huge, huge difference.
And I think we'll probably get to this a little bit later when we do Champions League results, but at the end of the day, I think it's something the FA needs to look at, because I think there's been a lot of graphs coming out lately about who's reached the quarterfinals by country in the Champions League. And I think it's four or five times in the last, you know, probably anywhere from 4 to 7 seasons that English teams have actually made it through to the quarters.
Right.
So Spain has like 15. So.
But yeah, because they take that winter break. Yeah. So I know what you're saying, but you got to understand as well that these other leagues, even your La Ligas, yeah. Yes, Barcelona and Real Madrid, they take the lion's share of all the TV revenue rights, but it doesn't even compare to what the deals are like for the Premier League. It's just astronomical money. So for me, it's only going to get worse. Like, it's not really going to get any better. There's so much money involved in the Premier League. You know, they pump so much money into every single club with the television rights and things like that. That they're not going to take that hiatus. It would just demolish kind of the business plan, the model that they've been using for pretty much straight out of the gate, 92. And obviously, the more money now that's in the game, the void, if you like, is just getting wider and wider.
Yeah, and it seems to be a cultural thing, too.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
All right. On with the results.
All right, Everton versus Hull.
Everton versus Hull.
Triple captain Lukaku at the right time.
All right, so this ended 4-0, which I'm really kind of upset about, because you had the young lad score, Davis Calvert-Lewin, after 9 minutes. And I'm telling you, Hull City were in this game. This was a really good game. Hull had plenty of chances. And if anything, I think they kind of shaded some of the better chances up until Huddleston got red carded. Is it a red card? I'm like, it's more than a yellow, but is it a red? Like, it's really strange.
What would that be, like orange? Like,
yeah, I know. It's like, it's a late challenge. He's caught the straight leg standing foot. But I don't think there's any intent to hurt somebody. It's a genuine attempt to play the ball. He's just slightly late. But once he got sent off, then the floodgates open. They bring on Valencia 2 minutes later. Erna Valencia scores. And then you have Lukaku in the 91st and 94th minute with some real sloppy defending at that point.
Right.
But like I say, it finished 4-0. Mm-hmm. Huddleston got sent off. But this was not a 4-0 game. This, to be honest, I felt like up until the 75th minute, Hull at least deserved a point out of this game. So, but at the end of the day, you beat what's put in front of you, and Everton showed the professionalism to, you know, with 12 minutes to go, if you like, get the job done. So,
and Lukaku got a little lollipop.
Got the lollipop in, didn't he, on the last
lollipop.
One? Yeah. Nearly scuffed the finish, but it trickled in, didn't it? But
yeah, the Tom Huddleston red card, to me, he has boots down. It's, you know,
it's strong, and he's a big fella as well, so he's never going in with like a weak challenge. Even if
right.
he goes in for just sticking his foot in and you kick him, it's going to hurt. He's a big dude. Yeah, for me, I can see both ways. It all depends on the angle that the ref sees and what the player who gets hit does when he's on the ground.
Maybe just a yellow?
Like I said, it's definite yellow card. Probably slightly more, and if it's slightly more, then maybe you do have to send him off, yeah.
Right.
But one question I wanted to pose to you guys after So a lot of talk with Lukaku's refusing this contract that's put on the table.
Right. And he looks like he might be headed to your boys.
Well, it sounds like, you know, it's the biggest contract that Everton have ever offered in the history of the club, which kind of makes sense. And he's looks like he's going to turn it down. Yeah, there's talk of Arsenal probably need a striker. United could go back to Chelsea, maybe even Liverpool. I just want to know what your thoughts are on who you, where you think he will go and what will the price tag be.
I think he'll end up back at Chelsea. Costa has definitely turned it around, but there were definitely, you know, we talked about this on the show. There was a good couple weeks there during the holidays when we thought that that he might be gone. And he's expressed interest in maybe going back to Atletico. So I don't really think if I'm Romelu Lukaku and I'm looking at my future and where I want to play, I definitely, number one, want Champions League football. That's got to be the top. Okay. Second, what team will I fit in the best? And I just don't see him really at United in your all system.
I actually disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I disagree.
I don't think he's going back to Chelsea.
I don't think he's going back to Chelsea. I think the price tag is going to be somewhere. Look, Everton paid $28 million for him 3 years ago. I think you're going to have to pay at least double that to get him. 23 years old. He's already scored 20 league goals this year, I think it is now.
He has the highest league. He has the highest league goal tally for Everton in their history.
Yeah, I mean, great player. Look, he's quick. He's strong. He's good in the air. He's good with both feet. I think he's got a very good attitude and application to the game. So I think I honestly could see him coming to United, but I think we would have to pay probably somewhere in the region of $65 million. And the question I wanted to put to Andy was, if it came down to it, you could spend $85 million for Griezmann or $65 million for Lukaku, who would you pick?
Well, who's going to score you more goals?
Well, I would pick Lukaku.
Me too.
Me too.
Every day.
I'd go for Lukaku.
He's already assimilated to the league. He's a proven goal scorer.
He plays this is what he does. This is the thing, yeah?
When he plays on the last defender.
Think of it like this. We have Mkhitaryan, who's probably not the best distributor in the final third. Like, he's getting better. But when I think of, like, top quality passes in the final third for United, I think Juan Mata, Ander Herrera, and Pogba.
And maybe Mesut Ozil for you all. Apparently Mourinho is interested in bringing him.
Never, ever. Never.
I would actually buy you beer if that happened. That would be funny.
With Ozil on the back, I'd just walk up to him and slap him. I'd be like, "After being
stopped." It might
with a shirt.
Hey, press record. Remember this now. I'm gonna remember it. So
his eyes are offside.
But what I'm saying is, Lukaku plays off the last man so well. That little spin around the corner, and we have so many great players who can see that pass, but not only see it, actually be able to distribute it. I can see him scoring a boatload. And you know who I'd kind of compare him to in that instance is Ruud van Nistelrooy.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah.
Scores goals in the box, plays off the last man brilliant, deceptively quick.
Poacher.
Deceptively quick, and just knows where the back of the net is. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd be all over that. $65 million, I'd write the check right.
Well, I mean, is that going to happen if Ibra stays?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think when a player like him, he's 23, yeah, he's available. Let's be honest, he's not going to sign that contract. He's available. Even if him and Ibra kind of do a 50-50 for the first year, okay? I don't think that you spend $65 million to say, hey, this is his last year, da-da-da-da-da, right? So you're going to play a little bit of a part. But you integrate him into the team, and if he gets his chances and he bangs them in, you play him. The reason that Ibrahimovic starts every game is that he scores goals for us. I'm quite shocked at what Ibra's done for us this year, because I was one of the ones that say, you know what, I don't think he'll score 30. A lot of people say, oh, he's going to get us 30 goals. I was like, you know what, if he gets us 13 goals, between 13 and 15 goals, I'd see that as a pretty decent return. you know, like I just said, on the flip side, you don't go out and spend $65 million on a striker and then have him sit on the bench 50%
of the time.
Have
him play half and half.
But you give him the opportunities, and if Lukaku takes his opportunities, which I think he probably will, then Ibrahimovic is somebody who, okay, he carries himself a little differently, so I'd hate to say that you know what he's going to do, but he can appreciate, I'm sure he could appreciate that a 24-year-old kid who we've just spent $65 million on, if he's banging him in every week and ends up winning him a Premier League title.
Yeah, then you have it, you have a super sub and you got an all.
You go, thanks very much, buddy. And Ibra might be somebody you bring on with 15, 20 minutes to go, and he can.
Or you start him in cup games,
right?
Or you start him in cup games,
yeah,
or both,
yeah.
But you had mentioned a few weeks back we were talking about this about how Ibra hasn't signed or something like that.
No, I thought he had. Yet. No,
but I think I know why. Because he never signed a money contract to come the first time, right? Last year, it was a free transfer.
Yeah, it's a free transfer.
So now he's probably trying to figure out, well, how much exactly am I worth?
No, he's worth the same, if not a little bit less, is how it works as you get older. There's this rise and then there's this down, right?
Okay.
You can't look. Is Ibrahimovic yet? The season that he's given, let's say he'd have came in and he'd have scored his 10 goals this year. By the end of the thing, 10 goals, and we pay him £250,000 a week. Are you going to pay £250,000 a week now for a guy that's a year older, 36 now, who last year at 35 scored you 10 goals? No, you're going to offer him a contract probably around 175 because you know that you'll get shirt sales from him when the new kit comes out next year and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm. And he's got to realise that he's 36 years old. Is somebody going to come in and pay you more than $175,000 a week? Probably not. But the fact is now, he's scored us, I think, already 30 goals in all competitions this year. Something ridiculous. It's up there. So, I'm a year older. If I'd have scored you 10, it would be at 175. You pay me 250. Pay me 250 again for next year, and I'll give you another year. The other thing I think he's holding out on is, do we hit top four? If he can guarantee his last year, because I don't think he has to go anywhere else after Man United, if that makes sense. He could go to MLS just for the culture.
He will.
And to live in LA, let's say, or New York City, whatever.
He would love it. He'd fit right in.
He knows that this is his last, like, this Man United is his last, I'm doing the fingers here, like the quote-unquote, the last professional big club, European club that he's going to play for. So I think he's holding out on, hopefully that last year can be Champions League football with United.
Your all's club has had a policy for years that you only offer players that are over the age of 31-year deals anyway. So it seems like we'd be making an exception for him.
We don't actually do that. I know where that comes from. I know where you've heard that. That's not actually true. We're actually notorious for giving two-year deals, mainly because I think you actually get a better, profit off that player off 2 years. Mm. It's money-related anyway, off 2 years. Mourinho is somebody who's notorious. As soon as you hit 32 years old, it's a year-to-year deal. So that's kind of where that comes from. I think United is more of a, hey, there's a two-year... I think our contracts are more like it's a year, but with a, you get that guaranteed second-year option, I think is what it is. Because Mourinho's renowned for, especially at Chelsea, Frank Lampard, John Terry, they were on a year-to-year basis with no second-year guarantee option. So I think that's where that comes from. David Gill and the other boys behind the scenes at United have always done that two-year option contract for players like Michael Carrick, even Ryan Giggs. Scholesy came back on a two-year option,
right?
But ended up only just playing the one. It makes good business sense.
All right, so moving on. Crystal Palace versus Watford. This was disappointing. Wasn't expecting this from Deeney. Dine, as I'd call him.
It's a great result for Crystal Palace.
And Sir Elton John are going to open up a disco together in Watford.
Is that true?
No, but it'd be awesome.
That sounds...
Because Dine could be the owner and he could be the bouncer.
I think you brought that one up last week. I think that's why I said, is that true?
But you guys got to watch me. These things that I say, it's sometimes they're believable, sometimes they're slightly believable.
But any, like the Crystal Palace, a great, good result for them. They needed that, especially being at home.
Mm.
Watford didn't do enough. Palace weren't great. I thought Zaha played pretty well. But yeah, look, it's 1-0. They take the 3 points. Look, you get to this point of the season and you're where Crystal Palace are in the league, you take 3 points any way it comes. Like coming off a ball boy and going in the back of the net, you take the goal in 3 points,
of course,
and you're rolling.
A goal is a goal. Yeah. It doesn't really matter where
so,
it comes from.
So, you know, they're just trying to grind out every point that they can at this point of the season. So, yeah, it wasn't a great game.
I still think Palace is probably going down.
I
could see Hull making a fight.
I don't now. I don't see it. I think Sunderland are gone. I think Hull are gone. And then it's going to be who wants it more.
Right.
Have to wait and see. Who's next, mate?
All right, guys. Well, the time is now 20 to 7. We'll be right back.
My bad.
All right, guys. Welcome back. So, Bournemouth versus Swansea.
Not much to talk about, mate. 2-0 Bournemouth.
Afobe's goal was good. I thought he played really well today.
Yeah. Was it Afobe's goal or was it...
The first one...
The first one was own goal.
Right.
Mawson.
But that second one... Because it would have been... it would have been given to him. The first one.
They played well, Bournemouth. Old Jackie, your mate Jackie Wilshere had a real good chance at the end there. But Swansea didn't do enough. Sigurdsson had a couple of good efforts. One I thought he should have scored. But yeah, so I was a bit disappointed in the Swans because they've actually been pretty decent this past 6 weeks. Putting in good performances. Even when they haven't won or they've drawn, they've put in really good performances. But this one wasn't... This was a little lackluster. I think they, you know, just... You know, and it happens. Teams down the bottom, they're not... They're down the bottom for a reason.
Right.
Because they're not...
Kind of spotty.
Ultra consistent. And I think it was just one of those days for them. But they're going to be just fine. They got the right manager in there. The players, apart from yesterday, kind of look like they're doing the business. Nothing went for Swansea yesterday. The touch on the pitch was terrible. It just wasn't a good day.
I think it's good for the league to have Swansea in the top flight.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, to have a Welsh team and...
The Welsh team.
Since they've been in the top flight, they've definitely give some bigger teams a run for their money. I mean, I remember when they had Michu and you know, they finished in the top 10 probably
first two years.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do forget.
They were a great team to watch, and we always had epic battles with them. So
I always forget though that like Swansea's biggest rivalry are Cardiff City.
Yeah,
it's like you forget that they're in the Premier League and not in. I don't know what the Welsh is. There a Welsh league? What is the Welsh league called?
No, they've always been in the English football league. So
why did that? How did that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen? Because they like hate England, don't they?
I don't. I'm not 100% sure how it happens, but you know, it was only what 2 years ago, was it 2 or 3 years ago. Cardiff were in the Premier League as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you had Oliver.
And for years you had, the biggest games in England being played at the Millennium Stadium when the new Wembley was getting built.
Yeah, they went to the Millennium Stadium.
Are we segueing? Is that the last result?
No,
yeah, we got Sundays.
Sundays
games.
Oh yeah, there was ones today.
I was going to segue into the Champions League with the Cardiff final, but we'll get to that.
Obviously, Ryan's day today.
Yeah, Middlesbrough versus Man United. I was a little worried about this because obviously Karanka got sacked this week.
You thought maybe they might kind of...
So I thought, yeah, you think of Leicester City and what they've done under Craig Shakespeare. I was thinking, oh, here we go. Fancy United coming to... And the thing is, this has happened to us twice this year because that Silver guy took the whole job and then came to United and got like a 0-0 or...
You know what the worst thing about today was? Yesterday, all the papers back home were laughing at United saying we've dropped into seventh. And I'm going, no, we've got a game to play tomorrow. We're sitting on 49, and was it, who was it? Everton and Arsenal were sitting in 50 points. So we had a win today. We would overtake them and get into fifth spot.
Not only that, we've still got two games in hand on Liverpool, a game in hand on City and Spurs. Don't know what people are talking about, mate. I told you we'd finish second, and we're going to. So, anyway, get into it. Fellaini on the score sheet. And then my boy
Jeremy's favourite player.
Absolute great finish in the top corner. And then it was good to see a squeaky bomb at the end there with Rudy Gusted getting on the score sheet. But, hey, absolute howler from our ex-goalkeeper, Victor Valdez, for the last one. Takes a slip. ball's played back to him, he slips over.
Never thought he was that good of a keeper.
Literally walks it into the net. I'll tell you what, I'll go out on a limb here. Valdez has been really good this year. That's just... And the thing is, if you watch this game in the first half, there was like three or four players from either team that just kept slipping over. And unfortunately, he slipped over in, I think it was like the literally 90 minutes and 2 minutes of stoppage time. And Valencia just walks the ball into the net for the easiest goal you've ever seen. But great result for United. Moved us up to fifth. And then obviously we roll on now to the next game, which United fans will be quite happy with. No, it's going to be the one after. But yeah, next game was Spurs versus Southampton. Spurs got off to a great start here. Eriksen and Dele Alli scoring in the first half.
Yeah, they seem to be real tough to beat at White Hart Lane.
Yeah, they do. And then I feel like they took their foot off the gas a little bit in the second half.
Well, I would say that Southampton put their foot on the gas, and I think it was Tottenham had a little bit of trouble handling
that. It was a culmination of both, I think. Yeah, but, you know, Ward-Prowse gets his goal. Shane Long really frustrated me in this game because I watched
just continually was offside.
Offside all the time. And he's so quick. He's so quick, this kid. And for him to be like a yard, yard and a half, 2 yards offside, seemed like every time the ball came over the top, I'm thinking,
Did you think that was a penalty?
No.
On Dele? It seemed like he sold it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like almost like he stepped into the foot to go down.
Yeah. It's one of them, and I still think Spurs, on their first half performance alone, deserve to win. Southampton didn't do enough in the final third, mainly because Shane Long was constantly offside.
Well, having Gabby Adini go out was huge for them.
Yeah. I hope he gets back soon because I've enjoyed watching him play. But yeah, fair play to Spurs.
Except for 2 weeks.
I think a lot of us are waiting for Spurs to have a little bit of a drop off. But to me, it seems like they're really locking up that second place.
They're kind of on the ascendancy.
And you know,
they will start choking, guaranteed. It happens every year around this time. It will happen.
Speaking from the Arsenal fan there, but
yeah, I know.
me and Jake have been talking about it. Oh, Jake over in India, watching the games 10 hours ahead.
Yeah, Jake.
Wonder if he's listening in.
Oh, okay. But, the only thing is, though, this year, if they do choke, your boys aren't going to...
Yeah, we're probably not. Probably. There will be no St. Tottenham's Day this year, unfortunately.
But great win for Spurs. Fair play to them. Like, you know what? All they can do is win their games and, let's say, hope for Chelsea to spontaneously...
Quiz question, Greggy. Quiz question. The last time Tottenham finished in the top two.
Move on to the next game. Give me some time to think about this.
Okay. We'll come back to that.
Man City versus Liverpool.
Pretty entertaining match. Lots of penalty controversy, I guess I would say. Some were saying that the Milner challenge should have been a straight red.
90 or 91?
Kennedy was president.
Oh, 64? 63
or 64. That was quick.
I was thinking of the Gascoigne-Lineker-Waddle era, 90 and 91. So that's why I went with 90 or 91, because they were a good team. Even Leeds United won the league, 91. Oh, I was about to give my question there. Who was the last team to win the league when it wasn't called the Premier League? But I just gave the answer away.
That was 90. When was it? I
92, 93 was the first official year. Right. 91, 92 season, if you like. Leeds United won it.
Disappointing result then for Man City, I thought.
Great result for Man United, though, wasn't
it? Of course. Right, I know, but I'm trying to be impartial.
Nah, don't worry about it. So, yeah, this was actually like... Like I said, Leicester-West Ham was my favourite game of Saturday, but my favourite game of the whole weekend was Man City-Liverpool. Not just because of the result, because this game just had everything. Everything you want from the late kickoff on a Sunday.
These teams don't defend. I mean...
Don't defend well, all over the shop. You had... Caballero made some great saves. Mignolet had a couple of really good saves. You had some gilt edge misses. Fernandinho starting at right back and winds up with a with an open goal pretty much from like 2 yards out, sticks it in the side net. And
Lallana missed an absolute sitter.
Lallana absolutely fluffed his lines with an invisible kick from literally 4 yards.
Yeah, I think he was already trying to celebrate before the ball actually.
The thing is, the one thing I will say about it is you watch the whole game and the way the ball's bouncing in that game, I can't believe the ball did not bounce up onto his foot. Like, if you watch it, it bounces into the turf and just stays on the turf and travels about a foot before it bounces up again. So it's just gone straight under his boot. But still, you've got to be burying that.
The one thing I didn't like about this game, James Milner got booed every single time he touched the ball.
It's ridiculous.
It's just, it's not respectful. He was a great servant to that club, and he had to leave. I mean, they weren't giving him any playing time. Like, if you're James Milner and you're getting older, like, what are you going to do? You're going to go play for another club.
That just, to me, that just sums up City fans. Like, and I don't mean to be thing, but we're talking about James Milner, yeah? Look, Liverpool fans have every right to kind of boo, if you like.
Sterling.
Sturridge? Sterling, yeah.
Sterling, yes.
Because this guy publicly, at the age of 20, let's not forget, Raheem Sterling was 19, 20 years old when he's like basically holding a club
overrated.
Like Liverpool. Yeah, to ransom.
Ransom, oh yeah.
And then gets his $200,000 a week from Man City and gets his £49 million move to him.
What has he done?
And this is what I mean. Like, this is a 20-year-old holding a club of the history of, like,
Leroy Sané has looked better in half a season than Raheem Sterling has in two.
Raheem Sterling is not a good finisher, and he's not a good crosser. So what has he got? He's quick.
He just runs at you.
He's quick. Well, well done.
I think he's the next Theo Walcott.
Yeah. And that hurts because, you know, he's English, he's young. You want to see these guys like hit the massive heights and stuff. Mm. And I'm a realist. It's not going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to happen with Theo. And I know it's not going to happen with Raheem Sterling. And the worst thing is, there's a lot of these pundits on the shows and stuff. They talk about Raheem, like, from being in, and say, I'm sure he's a nice kid. I'm sure he's a great guy and stuff like that. And they rave about his potential. But at some point, because what is he now? 22, nearly 23?
Yeah.
You can't keep talking about potential. He's been in the league for like 5 years, whether at Liverpool or Man City. Like, how
it's
much
time to start producing.
Are we going to still be talking about his potential when he's 30 years old? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, as far as too much hype.
The Arsenal syndrome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hype. So the table this week, Chelsea are obviously sitting 10 points ahead. Tottenham 59, Man City 57, Liverpool 56, Man United 52, Arsenal 50, Everton in 50.
With two games in hand.
West Brom in 43, Stoke in 36, Southampton in 33, and then, no, 43, sorry, West Brom, not 43, 33. And then obviously at the bottom of the table, Hull sitting in 24, Middlesbrough 22, and way back at the bottom, Sunderland sitting in 20. All right, so that kind of moves us out of the Premier League and into the Champions League.
Yeah, let's get to this.
Let's quickly talk about one of the biggest comebacks of, well, sporting history.
It was a few weeks ago now, but
obviously we had the snow on the way. So
and we had the episode where we said PSG win at PSG, 4-0 against Barcelona, first leg of the Champions League. We're all like, game over. No chance whatsoever. They're just going to go there, park the bus. They might lose 2-0.
Did you make
cares?
This bet in Atlantic City? I guess you weren't there in time.
I did not.
And that would have been a great cheeky fiver bet.
I know, because it was. I believe it was a 5,000-1 with 5 minutes to go for them.
Yeah,
to turn
no
it
team has ever come from a 4-0 first leg deficit.
So we all remember great comebacks. Okay, so you got United against Bayern Munich 99 final, scored 2 goals in the last 3 minutes. That's great, yeah. And that's to win the Champions League. So for me, that's up there. You got Liverpool coming from behind against AC Milan
in Istanbul
3-0 at halftime in Istanbul and win it on.
What you know? What Fergie said?
What's that?
He said that Liverpool didn't win that game, that AC Milan lost it.
Yeah,
and I actually agree with them.
Yeah, it's true. And then you obviously, you know, this hurts, but you have City against QPR, last day of the season. 1-0 down with
that was so great.
5 minutes to go. Dzeko header, Aguero for the win to win the league.
Phil Jones with his shirt off.
Yeah,
gets called then, back to the locker room.
But this, as far as football goes, don't think about what competition, what stage of the competition, just for sheer comebacks. You're 4-0 down after the first leg. You go 3-0 up, and then they score to make it 3-1. So away goal is now
in the 62nd minute, yeah.
Yeah. And then you get to what? So it's, yeah, so it's 3-1, and it's the 85th minute. So you have 5 minutes plus stoppage time to score three goals to get yourself into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And it was what? Neymar with a real great finish. Neymar with a penalty.
And Sergio Roberto,
and
the hero.
Roberto thing.
With a great finish, actually.
But the defense, there was so many nerves. Even when Neymar, because it was Neymar from open play, free kick, wasn't it? It was a free kick. Neymar with a free kick in the 85th minute, and they just absolute bag of nerves. Didn't even take one touch. Just every time the ball came to a Paris Saint-Germain player, just booted it up the field, and it just kept coming back. But yeah, unbelievable. And the celebrations after that game. I mean,
apparently there was a micro earthquake registered in Barcelona when the last goal went in. That was a headline I saw. I don't know if it's necessarily true, but...
Well, I've got a friend coming back from Barcelona on Friday. I'll have to ask him.
I could believe it.
All right, so let's talk about the Champions League. So, obviously, that was with the snow and what have you. But then we did have another mini comeback with Leicester City.
Well, this is what we talked about when they let go of Ranieri. I said, it's disgusting on one level, but it's kind of genius on the other. And the genius reason was... that Craig Shakespeare is basically, his main focus is to keep him in the Premier League, okay? But on the flip side, they've drawn a team in Sevilla that are inconsistent. They either turn up and look like world beaters, or they turn up and they kind of look a little bit garbage.
Like a lot of La Liga teams.
Yeah. So it was like a win-win for him, because he wasn't expected to come back from 2-1 down after the first leg.
And Schmeichel with a penalty save in both legs. So, like,
yeah, he pulled off.
Still, nonetheless, like, you save two penalties in each leg of a tie. That's amazing.
Yeah, massive. So, they managed to pull it off with a 2-0 win. And they roll on, and they're the last English team in Champions League.
Do we know who they play?
They play against... I do know this. Because I just watched it. Atletico Madrid.
That's yes.
Right. So you have Atletico Madrid.
Which
Leicester.
Should bring us to our next point. Let's look at this.
Let's go through some of the results.
Okay.
Juventus beat Porto 1-0. And then, of course, sweet victory for Monaco against City.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. So what about the away goals rule here? I want to hear what Greggy has to say about this. I think it's absolute rubbish. And it needs to be gotten rid of.
Never in a million years.
It needs to be getting rid of.
No. You don't.
I come from American sports. You don't end a game because of away goals.
Okay, but.
Like, I can see a draw. Like, I can see a draw in, like, a 38 game season in the Premier League. That makes sense. Like, they should not have to play every game until a team wins. But in a cup knockout competition. If the aggregate is tied, you go to extra time, man. It's better for the viewers. Come on, man.
No, I'm all for the away goals rule, and this is why. You just said like American sports, that's fine, yeah? Look, in every single sport, there's home field advantage and all that kind of stuff, yeah?
But that doesn't get you, if the Yankees and the Red Sox, like, are tied on... It doesn't matter. Like, they play till someone wins.
To me, it shows... Because the benefit is to play the second leg at your ground. That's the benefit of things. So when the draw comes out and it's... I think Leicester go to Atletico first.
Yeah.
That's a huge draw for Leicester City. Leicester want to play at the King Power in the second leg. Because it doesn't matter if Atletico win the first leg 3-1. Bring them to the King Power, and that's our game. Like, that's the way you kind of think about it. And I love that, because it's the tactics that go into it. Like, put it like this. If Leicester were going to Atletico first, they would have no... No, if Atletico were coming to the King Power for the first leg, Leicester City won't know what to do, right? So the tactics are kind of up in the air, a bit skewy, yeah? But the fact that they get to play him second, to me, I think it's amazing. Honestly, I've always liked it. I think it brings a lot of drama, because when you go away from home and you're in like Zagreb or whatever, and it's 1-0 with 90 minutes to go, and you nick that away goal in the last... That turns into a win, essentially. But you nick that one goal, and like Leicester City, Sevilla. Sevilla battered them in Seville, right? Just annihilated them. 2-0, 10 minutes to go. It should have been like 5-0. But Vardy scores, and it's like they won the game. And that's the tactics of it. Should Sevilla have shut up shop after 2-0? Like, do you know what I mean? There's that game. It's a lot.
I just think it should be straight up
into it.
We're gonna have to cut it there, guys. Let's just run through the fixtures real quick. There is a load of games if you look on the fixture list that are to be announced. Like, literally, it's almost like a full weekend.
Yeah.
So, April 1st, which is next weekend, Liverpool versus Everton. That's gonna be a cracker.
It's weekend after, isn't it?
International break.
Oh, is it that coming up?
Yeah.
All right, so that would put us, I guess, I'm trying to figure out what weekend that would be then.
It's weekend the after. So, 8th? What is it today? The 18th. So the 25th is next week, right? 24th, 25th?
So we'll be back in April.
April 1st. April, yeah.
All right, well, Liverpool versus Everton's got me wanting the games to hurry up and get here. Burnley versus Spurs.
I can see Burnley doing something there.
Chelsea versus Crystal Palace.
That'll be Chelsea, 3-0.
Hull versus West Ham.
Ooh, 1-1.
Leicester versus Stoke. I mean, Stoke
2-1, Leicester.
Yeah. United versus West Brom.
United, 1-0.
Watford versus Sunderland.
Ooh, Watford, 2-0.
Southampton versus Bournemouth.
2-2.
Swansea versus Middlesbrough.
Swansea, 2-0.
All right, let's find out then. Does anybody know when... Are we off next week?
Yeah, I think we are.
All right, guys. So that would put us back...
April 2nd, something like that?
No, yeah, April 1st. April 1st.
Fool's Day with blokes on the bench.
Yeah, well,
that's Saturday's April 1st, so we'll be back April
1st.
Alright, well, that puts that means obviously we're off for the next week, but we will be back on April 2nd with all your football results.
There you go.
Alright, guys, have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you. You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition, and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.